Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, don't forget all the other things you can do there. And the newsletter, by the way, comes on Sunday by email. Our blog will come to you 5 days a week if you would like for us to send it to you, or you can come and get it. And you can come and get lots of other stuff there if you want, and use it to your little advantage, to your little heart's content. And I'm pretty sure it'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. At least that's our goal. And it's the goal of our Brain Trust members, those outstanding 500-plus world-class experts on small businesses and everything else in between. And and one of those guys is our good friend Rob Jollis, who's with us right now. Rob is Rob and I have one thing in common, in fact, that we both used to work for Xerox. We were both Xeroids, and also he's the author of Customer-Centered Selling and a number of other books. And since I'm on the road, I don't have them in front of me, but there's so many I couldn't bring them all with me. And he's our good friend. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back. Thanks.
The Way of the Road Warrior. That's another one. I just remember that title.
Yep, that one's living a very happy life right now. It's interesting, I guess, for anybody who's ever struggled getting a book published. That's a book that was turned down by every publisher in the country, and many of them, so many times, they really started getting disgusted, even getting my proposals. And it finally got picked up after 2.5 years of pounding the turf there, and it sold its first 10,000 copies in less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
So that's my best-selling book, actually.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Mean to be boastful, but I just say that because I know a lot of people sort of have that dream and want to go after it, and sometimes these publishers really don't understand what your dream is and just keep pounding away.
Well, see, that's the essence of an entrepreneur, Rob, is you believe in, when you're an entrepreneur, you believe in what you're doing, you believe in your idea, you believe in the thing that you're focused on, and just because other people don't buy into it doesn't mean that it's wrong.
That's exactly right.
One of my favorite stories is from and that's irrespective of whether it's publishing or whatever it is. Dr. Seuss, the guy who printed the Cat in the Hat books, he was turned down like 26 times before that was published. And you know, think about how stupid those other 25 or 26 publishers felt after they missed that opportunity.
Well, yep, and I have to tell you, I have a nice fat file in the office here that I open up every now and then when I get my royalty check of all the publishers that turn me down, because I save every letter, and I just like to kind of wallow in them every now and then.
Well, you know, and those are turned downs, but in a way you could at the time when they first land on your desk or land in your hands, it feels like a little failure. It does take a little bit out of your spirit. There's no question about it. It hurts a little bit whenever anybody doesn't fall in love with your idea. It hurts a little bit. You just got to get over that, don't you?
You sure do. And I got to tell you, you can't take it personally. And although, you know, you can't help sometimes but take it personally. But got to tell you, Jim, I opened up the mail about 2 weeks ago. I went to the office mail, and I got a rejection letter for Way of the Road Warrior. And the only reason why I kind of laugh at that one is because, remember, although the book came out in November, that's about a year process from signing contract
right,
to going through manuscript. So you're talking about a proposal that was sent about a year and a half ago, and they turned it down 2 weeks ago.
What, you know, you've got to do something, Rob. You've got to take that sheet, that letter, make a copy of it because you want to keep the original, and staple to it the last report you got from your publisher that shows that you just sold 10,000 copies, you got to send that back and say, what do you think now, big guy?
Well, that's right.
Like, you know, I think they might even get a little, you know, get a little chuckle out of that.
Right. And then we move on. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's something that rules my day, but I just turn this back to the people that are listening and just keep reminding you, just like Jim is saying and I'm saying, to me it's a little bit like watching Rocky fight. You know, he may not win every round, but he keeps getting up, and that's the big picture.
Well, you know, faith is not just the franchise of religion. You know, if we don't have faith in ourselves, I mean, one of my favorite things in the world to do is to read the stories of the entrepreneurs who've gone before us and all the failures that they had and how they recover from that. And those are wonderful stories. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us. Rob's been working on a new project. When we come back, he's going to introduce it to us. You're going to like it, I promise. Wait till I'm Jim Blaskin. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Rob Delba.
Won't you come away with me? Oh, we are flying high.
Welcome back to 17 Still. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm working on a project, on a cybersecurity project, as I told you before, with a tour of six cities that I'm doing with IBM and having a great time learning about that. But we're not talking about that now. We're talking about what Rob Jolliss has on his mind. Rob, you've actually got a new book you're working on, and you've agreed to share the angle of the book with us today, and I'm interested.
Well, thanks. During that 2.5 year pounding of the turf trying to get the other book out, I was writing, and I've got a book out now. It's called Mental Agility, The Path to Persuasion, and it's getting back to my roots, my sales roots. And I guess the premise, well, let me ask you a question. You ask me questions every time.
Wait a minute. I ask the questions here, Rob.
Just one question, because
okay,
it sets up the premise of the book.
Go ahead.
And then you can take over again.
Okay.
Do you, Jim, believe that, I think we both believe, let's start this way, that some people are born, as we would call it, quick on their feet, fast.
Yep.
But do you think that can be an acquired skill?
Yes.
Yes, you say?
I think so.
Well,
I think,
do too. And
I think you can find yourself. I tell you what I think happens. I think there are people who are. I think there are natural talents that people have.
Yes.
Come across.
Uh-huh.
And to want to engage people. I think that's part of it. I do believe though that if you don't have that, it may be that you're suppressing it, because I think you may have been born with it. But maybe your environment caused you to suppress it, or you haven't had the training to show you how to execute it.
Ah, now you hit it, the training to execute it. So what I did was I went around, Jim, and I interviewed a bunch of improvisational troops and theaters and really kind of got the idea from watching Whose Line Is It Anyway and said, boy, those guys are fast. Can you learn that kind of speed? And what I found was that there's a lot of drills and skills and exercises, just like what we do for sports, that exercise the mind, that get the mind to think quicker. What I wanted to do was take those skills, adapt them to a business environment, and put real business case studies and exercises in there and say, okay, rather than learn how to do a props exercise, let's take this and learn how to ask second and third level questions, which every salesperson needs to do, knows that it's on their agenda, but oftentimes just can't come up with that question or that thought, and so then they begin belching out solutions.
Let me talk about how this might manifest itself, because this has happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you. Folks, you leave the sales call, you're out in your car, or you're outside of wherever the sales call is, you hang the phone up, whatever, and about 30 seconds later you say, man, I wish I'd thought of that. I should have said that.
Right.
And you didn't. You either said what you said a minute ago, you say the wrong thing, or you don't say anything, and you don't take you had an opportunity served up, and you didn't pick up on it quick enough.
Exactly, and I'm going a step further. I'll bet there was a moment in that past where you were looking and searching, and you just couldn't find it. So what I've done is I've created a bunch of business. I've set up the book in three ways. It's got what we call the problem, the process, and the practice. And the problem is to identify, for instance, how we engage, how we start a conversation. The problem could be how we persuade. The problem can be how we persuade groups of people. The problem can be how we respond to attacks or objections. But I wanted to not only lay out, here's the problem, and here's a process, which I've done for 22 years of my life, basically, but put in 53 what I call mental agility exercises to say, if you're buying into this process, let's figure out how to speed that mind up to find these skills, to find these practices.
Well, I don't know about the 53 because I haven't seen your list yet, but I'm going to propose two. You tell me if they're on your list.
All right.
One of them is, don't be so interested in yourself. You cannot become. I don't think you can become mentally agile when if you're trying to help a customer. And notice I didn't say sell a customer. You're trying to help a customer do business with you, and if you're self-absorbed, you're never going to hear as much about what they're saying as you could have. That's one of them.
Well, yes, sir. And there's three ways to communicate, Jim. You can ask questions, you can make statements, or you can listen. And we've done surveys on this for years. And, you know, what a surprise. Asking questions and listening comes in at a dead heat from clients at number one. And people are fed up and tired of hearing us make statements. It doesn't take mental agility to make statements. It takes mental agility to come up with the questions to engage so that you can listen to the client and keep that client talking.
Well, and the other thing is, I remember that line from The Sounds of Silence, the Simon & Garfunkel song, People Hearing Without Listening. That was my second thing, Rob, and that is to listen hard. You know, you've heard people say pay attention or whatever, but I have another term that I use, and I have to use it when I do this show. Because,
yeah,
as you know, most of my guests are never where I am. They're in their home offices or in their offices or wherever they are. And so I have to listen hard to be able to hear what they have to say. I have to stay in the moment with them. Otherwise, I can't do a very good job of interviewing. It's the same thing on a sales call, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And Jim, I know we're probably getting ready for a break here, but when we do get back, I'll give you one of those 53 exercises so we can provide an example of what I mean by a mental agility exercise that not only ties in just what you said, thinking quickly, but not at the expense of listening. So I'll show you an exercise when we get back that does just that.
We're going to take a quick break, folks, as Rob says, as he very accurately said. He's done this before. Until we'll be right back with our good friend Rob Jolly. Lots of good stuff here. Don't go away.
That's right. Do it no matter what the people. Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out.
We're back at 20. No, it's 7 till. I don't know where that came from. It is 7 till the hour. Didn't mean to get you excited, folks. Welcome back and continuing our good visit with our good friend Rob Jolles. And Rob, give us your website, please.
It's www.jolles.com, and if they want to drop by a second site that's solely dedicated to the Road Warrior book, but there is a lot of comfort on that site for people that are fighting to get that family and work balance together, it's wayoftheroadwarrior.com.
All right, so check that out when you get a chance. They can find your books on Jolles.com too, can't they?
They can follow me at Jolles.com, but it's sometimes just easier to jump to the bookstore or Amazon or something like that. We ship them out, but we don't do a ton of that here.
If you're visiting our site and you're looking for Rob, he's on our schedule page this week, or you can click over and we'll take you to some of his books as well. So plenty of opportunity to find whatever Rob has written, and whatever he has written is top shelf, and I certainly recommend it to you. Rob, go ahead. We're continuing our visit on this mental agility thing. By the way, when's that book going to be out?
It just got printed last Thursday. And
I don't have my copy.
Well, I tell you, Jim, folks, just give us 1 second because Jim's going to yell at me. I don't even have my copies yet. I'm told they're in the mail to me.
Okay,
so
I want my autographed copy. And, of course, we're launching the book on the show right now. So
yes, sir.
So, we're glad to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you'll get yours. Okay, this is an example of what I mean by mental agility exercise, and it's a really neat one. What I do is I'll stand up anywhere from 10 to 20 people at a time. I bring a metronome with me. And all I do is I have people basically give me any word that they want except for somebody's name. And in a rhythm, in a very slow rhythm at first, all we do is have each person repeat only the last word and then give me another word using that last word's last letter. So if I said cat, there would be a rhythm of a pause. I would repeat the word cat and then use the word top. And then there would be a pause, and I would repeat the word top and give the word party. And if there's a pause, and then we speed that up. Let me tell you what that does very quickly. It forces me to not only think quickly, but I have to listen. Remember, I don't have to give you all the words, just the last one. Because some people, for instance, will train their mind so well to ask questions that they're not listening to the answers they're getting to the questions. So it's an exercise that can progressively get faster that says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to trust your instincts. You're going to have to listen carefully to what's being said and then move the mind faster. And it's a wonderful exercise, and actually the more you do it, the quicker you get. And then we go ahead and we'll apply that to certain questions that we'd use with a client. And that's an example of a mental agility exercise.
Well, that's a great exercise, and I think I'm very proud of you for bringing that to the marketplace in your book. But Rob, none of that matters if the person who's selling can't get off of the product of the month thing.
Oh yeah,
the person can't get off the fact that their success is not in their head or in their briefcase. It's in their customer's head. If they can't get to that point, they'll never use whatever they learn out of your book. They'll never use it.
That's exactly right. That's why there's multiple processes. But, you know, there's certain little sayings that I live by, Jim, and one of them is the more the client talks, the more they like you.
Yep.
And it's one of the reasons why I'll ask an audience of 500 people frequently, how many of you have been sales trained, and 500 hands go up. And then I'll ask them, how many of you have been sales trained a dozen times, and 500 hands will go up. And by the time that hour's over and we separate the difference between product training and sales training, and they realize that sales training has almost nothing to do with the product. It has to do with getting somebody to trust you and want the solution. All of a sudden, at the end, I'll say, how many of you have been sales trained? And three hands will go up. And that's what we have to train people right off the bat, as you said, is please don't get confused with what product training is
right.
And sales training, or we're teaching people to fail.
Well, and the other thing, Rob, the way I like to think about it is selling is not about my product. Selling is about the two humans sitting on either side of this desk.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's not about the product.
Right.
Because they can get that product 8 ways from Sunday without you.
Right.
They're going to buy from you. It's about the humanity, what's going on between the two humans. Hey, Rob, give us the website one more time, please.
It's www.jolles.com.
And I'm looking forward to my autographed copy of this new book, which we've just launched today. When's it going to be available?
I'm told, I know Barnes & Noble just bought, I think, 500 of them, so I'm guessing that they should hit the shelves pretty soon.
Tell us the title again, quickly.
What's that? Title again? Mental Agility, the Path to Persuasion. Train the mind to think, act, and influence faster.
Thanks, Rob. Got to go for this hour, folks. I'll be back on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.